Okay, thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor and Mrs. Charles, for their hospitality for the last few days. I hope you can understand my accent. Okay. I'm from Belfast in Northern Ireland, as Pastor had mentioned before. And please pray. I'm sorry my wife couldn't be here with you for this weekend. She's not able to get across this at this time, but she'll be here when we come over in August, okay? Pray for the camps in Romania this year. There's going to be a youth camp at the end of July for Romanian youth. And in the week after that, there'll be a camp for the Ukrainian people. They were the Ukrainian people, brothers and sisters in Christ from independent Baptist churches throughout the Ukraine, mostly around the Odessa area, which is the seaport that the Russians want to control and that's heavily bombed and being heavily bombed at this time. And just pray for them that they can come down to camp and we hold a family camp for them, that we can be an encouragement to them, okay? So I'd just like you to pray for that. I don't know if I've got any more updates to tell you. But if you turn with me to 2 Samuel, please. We had all these beautiful hymns about going out and reaching the lost. You know, we've got the lost here in Australia that have never heard. They've heard the name of Jesus Christ, but unfortunately, it's usually a swear word, isn't it? But they need to be told, need to know the message that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're also in foreign countries. They need to hear the message too. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm going to have a different type of message today. We're not going to go in heavily into really deep doctrine. Okay. But I want to make a few challenges for you today as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 21. I know it's a long reading. What do you normally do for the reading, Pastor? Does everyone stand or everyone? In Romania, when someone gets up the front and they have the Bible, and we're going to have a Bible reading, everybody has to get up on their feet. Could I insist that you do that this morning, okay? So 2 Samuel chapter... Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 1 to 21. If you cannot stand or you don't feel well, please stay seated. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about him from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Satan, unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. I have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and I have made thee a great name, thee like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall my children of wickedness, the children of wickedness, afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when the days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up a seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we are needy people. And we need you, Lord, and we need to walk with you, and we need to walk closer with you. Lord, please work in our hearts that we can be of use to you, that we can be vessels of use to you, Lord, that we can minister unto other people, that we can tell them of the wonders of our Lord and our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ who came and paid that ultimate price for us. We just pray that you'll work in the hearts of everyone who's here today and help me to speak with clarity, Lord, and the word that you've given me to preach this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text today, we see of a request that is made by King David and the response from the Lord our God that changed history and eschatology. Okay, that's the study of end times or things to come. And also the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It underlines also the importance of a heart towards God. I want to us think about these things, to put these in our minds today. Where is your heart? Is your heart towards the things of God? Do you let God work in your hearts? Do you seek him first thing in the morning? Do you say before you make a decision, Lord, work in my heart. I want to do what is pleasing to you. So we see King David here. He's making a request of God. But God's going to do something great for him. Because God is interested in your heart and how you think and what's important to you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, probably most of us know this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know that verse. So what is that? To seek God's kingdom, to seek what God wants us for us in our lives, for us to walk with God, for to look to him first, to not make any decision before we consult God about anything. And we also see in Psalm 37 and verse 4, it tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, thine heart. So here we see the desires of King David's house, of King David's heart. We learn of him. We see the thoughts that he has. He remembered the Lord and he thought back to where he came from. Do you remember where you came from before you were saved? Do you remember the road that you were on before you met the Lord Jesus Christ and how your life changed radically? You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see David here, and he's thinking from where he came from. He remembered he was the little shepherd boy tending the sheep. He was the youngest son. And he remembered the day that Samuel, the great prophet, came to his father's house and was looking for the future king. He didn't realize this at the time. And Samuel was saying, was looking for a man after God's own heart. And he remembered God's protection on the battlefield. He remembered the protection that God gave him when Saul was seeking to kill him. And peace was given to him from all his enemies. So as this is where David is in this passage of scripture where we are. So we have in chapter 5 that David has conquered Jerusalem. In chapter 6, Jerusalem is made the spiritual center for Israel as a nation. And in verses 1 and 2, we read here, "And it came to pass that the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. And the king said unto Nathan, the prophet, See now, I dwell in the house of Cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." He's looking and he's thinking of all the blessings that he's received in life, that he's got a great house, beautifully built, a lot of work put into this, and he's sitting and he's considering and he's thinking, where did all this come from and who am I, God? I was just a little shepherd boy, Lord. When Samuel, the great prophet, came and you sent him and he anointed me as a boy and I kept quiet for a while and I came and I fought against Goliath and I fought in the armies of Israel and I led Israel into all the battles, but Lord, you were with me in all the battles. And who am I? And here I am. You've established my kingdom and I'm sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. And Lord, you give me all these blessings and I've got this beautiful house. But Lord, your Ark of the Covenant is still in the old tabernacle, surrounded by curtains. You know, the ruins for King David's house would be found by archaeologists. And when they first found the ruins of this house, the archaeologists said, oh, this doesn't match. Because some of the tops of where the roof were and the design work that was done on the roof, it's not from Israel. They're correct. Remember David's friend, Hiram, from Tyre, wasn't it? Didn't he, for the temple later on, he would float all the cedar wood down the ocean and send it to Solomon for him to build the temple later on. So the architecture on the roof has been found in Israel today, and it was King David's house. But David is thinking on these things, and he's thinking about the Ark of God that dwells in tents. In 1446 BC, Israel as a nation, led by Moses, left Egypt, the country. They left that country in 1446 BC. And we know that they went into the desert there. And God gave Moses various instructions how things would be done. He gave them the laws. And he told them how the tabernacle should be made. How it should be built there and all the things that were in it. And here we are more than 400 years later. And David's sitting in his house and he said, what about God's house? I want to build a house for God. God's given me all these great blessings in my life. And here I am sitting in this beautiful palace. And God's Ark of the Covenant, the great God, the creator of all the world, is in a tent. I want to do something for God. He's thinking to build the temple here. And God had been present with Israel through the Exodus, through the wilderness wanderings, through the conquest as they conquered the land. Some 400 years later, and it's still the same tent. You wouldn't get a tent that lasts that long these days, would you? Probably had a lot of repairs. Probably had to be updated a little bit and patches made and things like that. But basically, it's still in that tabernacle that was made all them years ago. And David's thinking about these things. Isn't it fitting for God to have a house that would glorify him? A house befitting of the creator of all the earth. And he is our God. So he's sitting there in his house. And he has this conversation with Nathan the prophet. And he said, look at the place that I have to dwell in. And Nathan said unto him in verse 3. Said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart. For the Lord is with thee. So Nathan gets enthused. He's very encouraged. He sees the heart of David. He knows who David is. He knows that David is a man after God's own heart. And he gets very enthusiastic about it. And without thinking, he says, go ahead. Do all that you have in your heart. It's a good thing that you're going to do. And that night, God comes to Nathan and says, Nathan, I want to tell you something else. God informs Nathan of his plans. You know, God has a plan for your life. And sometimes you don't know how the plan's going to work out. I mean, we left Romania two years ago this August coming. And what the plan for my life is, I do not know. I don't know where I'm going to be in the next months to come. I know with the Lord's blessing that we'll be here with you. I'm sharing some fellowship together. But other than that, how this year is going to pan out, I do not know. But God knows. And I've walked with him for a number of years. I was saved in a church camp, at a youth camp in 1975. And he hasn't let me down yet. Okay. So I don't know where it's going to be, but I know who I'm going to be with. So David is thinking about this house, and he talks to Nathan. He's very enthusiastic. And that night, God comes to Nathan. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. And God says, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord. Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? God's message to David via Nathan, shalt thou build me a house to dwell in, is a negative, it comes across as a negative response, doesn't it? But it's really not. He said, really, David, shall you build me a house to dwell in? He's not giving disapproval to David's purpose. We know it will be fulfilled and by his son to come, Solomon. And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 3, it says, why David couldn't build the temple of the Lord? Because he was a man of war. He had blood on his hands. So when God gives us this response, when you read that, you think, shall you really build me a house, David? It's a negative sort of response, but it's not a disapproving response. So verses 6 through to verse 11 is a whirlwind of thought and instructions and God's history with his people Israel and a reminder of God's protection of David in a special way. Look at the end of verse 11. I'll read all of verse 11. And as since my time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that I will make thee an house. Is God building a house for you? Not a physical house. Is God first in first place in all your life? Have you got a desire to please God with your life? David had. And he knew that God had been with him, God had protected him, God had given him many famous victories over all his enemies. God had given him rest round about him. And he said, hold on a minute. I'm going to give David something beyond and beyond everything that he ever thought. And God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless me if we will just step out and follow him. Also, the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. Let's think upon these things. In your life, you make decisions. Every week you make decisions. Actually, daily you make decisions. I remember a little quote from Jim Berg. I don't know if you've heard of Jim Berg. There's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Short and sweet and direct to the point, isn't it? And every day we get to that in our lives, that we have to make decisions. And the Apostle Paul put it this way, I do the things that I do not want to do, and the things that I do want to do, I don't do them. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's a fight within, and you have to say no to self and yes to God. You have to build your life around the things of God. Trust in the Lord with all thy... trust in the Lord, it tells us in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, doesn't it? And He will direct our paths. Isn't that what it says? To put your trust in the Lord, and He'll direct you. He wants to direct you. And here we see this in a practical way, that David has all these thoughts. His desire is to build a beautiful temple dedicated unto the Creator, the God of Israel. A building made with hands in great splendor. But one day it would eventually decay. It would need maintenance, etc. Great thoughts from the heart of David. Now God, who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, if you'd like to turn there with me please. Excuse me. For the word of God is quick, brings to life, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here is David. He's in this position. He wants to build a house for God, but God has got bigger plans. And you know, God has got bigger plans for you. God has got bigger plans for me if we will only follow His will. Not my will, but thine. So David, God says here to David, I'm going to do the house building, David. Above and beyond anything that David ever had in his mind. And greater than his deepest thoughts. In verses 12 and 13... He says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now don't forget, Solomon's not around here yet. He's not born yet. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Do you see them last few words? Forever. After you, David, your son, Solomon, shall build me a house. And I will establish his throne and his kingdom forever. God always had a plan to build an everlasting kingdom through David. Did you realize that? I was reading through Genesis chapter 49. If you turn with me to Genesis 49. In verse 10, this is Jacob, and he's addressing all his sons. He's about to go off into eternity, and he's addressing all his sons. And here he's addressing Judah. In chapter 49, of verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Till the coming of the Messiah. In Hebrews chapter 7, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. In verses 14 to 16. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it, as yet, far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So we see here that King David, he has the thoughts, he wants to build a house for God, he wants to glorify God with his life. He knows that God's been with him and has rescued him and saved him from all his enemies. And he's thinking upon these things. And here he's going to find out that God is the one who's going to do the building. And in verses 14 through to 17, he says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, talking about Solomon to come, okay? I will chasten him with the rod of men. Did he do that? He certainly did. And with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. Do you imagine you put this request before God? And you said, Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to build something to glorify you. Have you ever sat down and thought about that in your life? Say, Lord, I want to make my life count. Many years ago, when we first went to Romania, the hearts of the people were a lot softer than what they are now. When we used to hold camps there for the youth in Romania, we didn't have to tell anybody about the camp. People were ringing us up and say, when is the camp? And you know what our facilities were at camp? A big paddock, a big field, and a little river, spring-fed, at the side of it. That's it, nothing. So they'd ring us up and say, when is camp? And we're given the date for camp. And they'd run around and tell all their friends when camp is going to be. And that was it. We used it as an evangelistic tool for young people to come and hear the sound, under the sound of the gospel, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we'd turn up there probably about lunchtime or about midday. We'd turn up there at the campsite and there'd be 180 to 200 young people there ready for camp for that week. No transport. Some of the villages were 10, 15 kilometers away. They walked. They carried their backpacks. It's the summertime. Very hot. When we held camp, last year, I think it was the first day, it was 42 Celsius. Okay? So you get the picture? There was a hunger there for God. They wanted to hear about God. They wanted to know God. And one time when the preacher was finished preaching, he said, anyone wants to get saved, step forward out of your seats, I'm ready. Come forward. And 46 young people stood forward for salvation in one meeting. There was a hunger for God. They wanted to look for God. They had a thirst for God. They wanted to know God. Do we still have that hunger that we first had when we were first saved? Do we still say, Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to make my life count. David did. And he's thinking of, Lord, I want to build you something physical because you've been so good to me. But Lord, who am I? I'm only a shepherd boy. And you took me from the sheepcote and you put me on the throne of Israel. Lord, who am I? Why are you blessing me so much? Do you know what the answer is? He was a man after God's own heart. He sought to do something for God and God says, hold on, David. I know the thoughts and intents of the heart. I know that. And I want to do something for you. So here we see the reply of David. He says, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. God's telling him that. And you know, this is from this chapter onwards to the end of the book and for all eternity, this request has affected all of that. Have you thought about that? It's affected all of that. It's effective all of history because of a man's request. God had a plan. He knew about it. He knew about Lord Jesus Christ being from the line of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. He knew all that. But David didn't have the big picture together yet. But he had the big heart for God. And when he put this request through to God, and God speaks to him, and he said, "Who am I? Who am I?" Many years ago, I was at camp in Romania, and I said, "Put up your hands if you believe you should deserve to go to hell." The room was packed. There was about 200 people in the room. There was myself and one young lady that put her hand up in the back. Do you know what we deserve? And how good is God to us? That he has given us salvation. We know what we deserve. We just need to be reminded of it sometimes. And here is David, and he said, "Who am I? What am I? I don't deserve this, God." And you're talking about not just that my throne will be established for a little while, for my sons and my sons' sons after me. Lord, you're talking about all of eternity. God, I don't deserve this. And who am I, God? God speaks to David through Nathan of great things, of an everlasting kingdom. God spoke of his dealings with Solomon, if he departed from him, and that he'd need to correct him. He explained of putting the way God put away Saul. He spoke of an everlasting kingdom, and we're talking about the Messiah here. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we know that. Someone know that as a memory verse? We use it at Christmas time, don't we? For unto us a son is given, is that correct? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now verse 7. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Do you see that request that David made? Do you see the effect of that request? God, I want to build your house. And God says, "Hold on a minute, I know your heart, David. I know that you love me, David." The sweet psalmist, King David, "I know that about you." And God knows your heart and he knows my heart. And he turns around and he said, "David, I'm going to show you something." Most of us know verse 6, like I said, in Isaiah. And Micah 5 too. His birthplace in Bethlehem. And Matthew 1:1, the genealogy there, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 31 and 32, if you turn with me there for a minute. Luke chapter 1. Verses 31 and 32. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb," this is Mary being told about the child to come, "and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Do you see how deep this request has gone? In Revelation chapter 22. I know we've got part of Revelation chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 16 now. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. I have sent mine angel. I'm the root of David, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And Mark chapter 10, please. And verses 46 and 47. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. So here we have a blind man that can see. Not physically, spiritually. The Pharisees could see. Remember Jesus told them, you see, but you see not. You say you can see, but you're blind. And here we have blind Bartimaeus, physically blind, but spiritually he can see what's going on. And he recognizes that Jesus is the Son of David, to have mercy on him. Son of David, or another title for that would be Messiah. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, please. And verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, David here speaking, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Pretty direct, isn't it? Do we seek God with all our hearts? Are we searching for him in the quiet places? Do we say before we get to the intersection in our lives, whatever that important decision may be, Lord, I've got an important decision to make that's up ahead of me. Lord, I need your advice. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to give my heart to you. God doesn't want half a man. Remember? A man in two minds doesn't do anything. He wants someone with his mind fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. David, after hearing these things, these great things to come, went before the Lord Jehovah. Look at the verses 18 through to 21 and see the heart of the man. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thy, Lord God, knowest thy servant. And thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these things, great things, to make thy servant know them. Does God know your heart? Is it an open book? To say, Lord, I want you to give you the best bits. Only the best. I want to turn over to you. So here he is in the tabernacle, back in the tabernacle. He's heard all these great words via Nathan the prophet. He's gone into the tabernacle and he said, Lord, I wasn't expecting this. He's totally humbled in awe of God, overcome by God's wonder and grace shown unto him. And I like that where he says, Lord God, knowest thy servant, For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. God wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him each and every day. All of us are familiar probably with Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Do you know that verse? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's David really doing it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, Lord, you've blessed me so much. You've given me so much. Do you have a burning in your heart for other people to come to know Christ like that? For them to know Christ like that and know that they can receive the blessings from God. Maybe not physical blessings. Maybe not $1 million in the bank account and things like that. You know, we're not talking about that. I know people that are very rich and have lost their health. What good is all that money when you have no health? But God wants us to come and he wants us to and put them words into action like Joshua spoke some 3,500 years ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know the context, don't you? The children of Israel wanted to do some things, they wanted to do their own way. And Joshua says, look, I'm about to go now. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But do we really mean and practice these words? King David, the sweet psalmist, wrote many psalms praising God, thanking him for his protection. But here in our text, we see a heart towards God and a desire to build something for God for his name's sake. A house, a temple. What desires do you have to please God? If you ever say, God, I want to please you with my life, what can I do? We all know Romans 12, 1 and 2. We know that. We're to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. God wants you on the offering table, so to speak. What desires do you have to please God? Is he in first place? Have you put him in first place? That's the question. And God heard his plans, his thoughts, and he built him a kingdom that will last forever. The son of David will reign forever upon David's throne. God gave and blessed above all that David ever thought. Now, how do we put that into practical terms for ourselves? If you come and you look for God and say, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to love you, I want to do something for you, I want to make my life count. I want to build my life around you. He'll never fail you. I got saved in 1975, what's that, 49 years ago? I'm still here, I can attest to that. I knew where I was going, I knew the direction I was on, I got mixed up in trouble when I was a young boy. And God plucked me up out of that. I'd got bad friends. I got wrong friends. And you know, on the time I got saved, I came back from camp. And I was so enthusiastic, so excited. I wanted to go and tell my friends all about Jesus. So I did. So I started out. And I came home from camp on Saturday. Went to church on Sunday. I went and saw my friends every night of the week. I went and visited the different ones to tell them about Jesus. And know what they said? When I came and I came to the first guy and I told him about Jesus, how I got saved and God had changed me and things like that. Know what he said? Goodbye. Second night, goodbye. They all forsook me. Were they acquaintances or friends? And I went home and I thought, I'm lonely now. I've got no friends. But then the Lord gave me friends within the church. Okay. And I built my whole life around the church. I was at church probably about 5 days a week. Various activities that were going on in the church. If it was going on, I was there. And the Lord has never let me down. I've walked with him. I've seen his blessings. Yes, sure, we've been through the valleys in life, but we've been on the high tops as well. We've been on top of the mountain. And here, I just want to challenge you today with the thoughts of King David. He had a desire to do something for God, and he was the one that received the blessing above and beyond. Amen.